Something that's mentioned in the Bible twice is even more important. And something that's in the Bible three times is even extra important. But did you know that the word nevertheless is over 100 times in the Bible? Now, I'm not going to preach 100 sermons on it, I promise you. I'm just going to hit the highlights, all right? Can't really go all the deep into that. But I've talked to you about the nevertheless of faith. When Jesus, when the disciples looked at Jesus and said, nevertheless, at your word. And they did incredible things. I talked about the nevertheless of salvation, how that he saved them. The nevertheless of prayer when Nehemiah was facing the against all odds and he prayed to the God of heaven. And then the last time I talked to you was on at the tomb of a man who has been dead for 4 days. The nevertheless of hope, and Lazarus came out of the grave. Can you say amen? Amen. And I want to take a pause here right now before I preach and welcome Dr. Moore. Is it Dr. Moore? Bishop Moore in our house tonight. Let's give him a good welcome. We are so glad to see him. What does nevertheless mean? It means however, yet, notwithstanding, or in spite of that. I love that. Say that with me. In spite of that. It means things are about to change. It means God is up to something. It ain't over until it's over. Don't give up. Nevertheless means don't give up. Nevertheless means the devil is already defeated. Nevertheless says it looks hopeless, but somebody say amen tonight. So I want you to stand with me tonight and go to John chapter 16. Today is Pentecost Sunday. And I want to give you the nevertheless of the Holy Spirit. John chapter 16 and verse 7. Oh, praise the Lord for his presence here tonight. Amen. If you're glad to be here, say amen. Amen. If you got it, say amen. Amen. It says, nevertheless, I am telling you the truth. It is for your benefit that I go away. Because if I don't go away, the counselor will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. The nevertheless of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, tonight for the promised gift on the day of Pentecost and in the upper room. But Lord, you didn't intend for those disciples to stay in the upper room. The Holy Spirit was to go out into the harvest. And we thank you tonight for the nevertheless of your spirit. And we'll give you all the praise. And everybody said amen. And as you're being seated, tell somebody you're in the right place tonight. Brother Blue, I'm going to change to the orange mic if you don't mind. Hey. All righty. I like this horse better. I don't like change a lot. And I'm be 48 in a few weeks, so I'm understanding that change is getting harder and harder as I get older. But I do want to stay flexible, amen? I do want to stay flexible. So is that sounding okay? Give me a thumbs up. Everything good? Everything good out there? John 16 and 7. In our text tonight, Jesus was preparing his disciples for a future without him there physically. Say the word physically. And this had to be sad. After all, they had walked with him for 3.5 years. They had talked with him, sat beside him at the low burning embers of the fireside as he expounded to them the things of the kingdom of God. They ate with him and broke bread with him. They were there when he fed the 5,000 with 2 loaves and a few fish. They were there when they saw the stone rolled away and Lazarus coming forth. They were there when they stopped the funeral in progress. I mean, the boy was in the casket. The bier is what it's called, B-I-E-R. He touched it and they saw the dead rise up out of that coffin. They probably remembered the night of the perfect storm when they said those words, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he rose up and he rebuked the waves and said, peace be still. And now he's saying, I'm leaving you. I'm going away. But here it is. Go back to John chapter 16 and verse 7. Here it is. I'm going away, but what is it? What is it? Nevertheless. Never say it again. Nevertheless. Give him a hand of praise tonight because that changes everything. I mean, they were sad. They were probably starting to get depressed. What do you mean? You're leaving us physically. But nevertheless, I'm going to send you something. Actually, I'm going to send you someone. Nevertheless, I'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Nevertheless, greater works than these shall you do because I go to my Father. Because nevertheless, the Holy Spirit is coming. Aren't you glad that the Holy Spirit is here? Aren't you glad that He is working? Nevertheless, He is working. Give Him a hand of praise here tonight. Amen. Someone has said that in the Old Testament, it was the dispensation of the Father. In the Gospels, it was the dispensation of the Son. But from Acts chapter 2 until June the 9th today, it is the dispensation of the Holy Ghost. Today is Pentecost Sunday. We've celebrated the crucifixion. We celebrated the resurrection. We celebrated the ascension. But after Calvary, there is another thing that we should celebrate. And this is the day, the time frame from the resurrection, the 40 days, the 6 weeks. And listen, if you've been to Calvary, that's wonderful. Oh, thank God for Calvary. Thank God for the empty tomb. But if you just stop there, it's not complete. It is complete as far as salvation is concerned. But you're not just saved to be saved. You're saved to serve, as Henrietta Mears said. You're saved to serve. And if you've been to Calvary, great. Say amen. If you've been to the empty tomb, say amen. But I want to ask you tonight, have you been on down to the upper room and received the promise nevertheless of the Father? If you have, say amen tonight. Amen. I remember when I received that promise, and I want to tell you about it later in the message, but I want to give you three things about the coming or the nevertheless of the Holy Spirit. And the first word is the word comfort. Say the word comfort. Point number one, go back to John chapter 16 and verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come to you. Or Counselor, as I read it in this translation. In other words, the Holy Spirit is called the Comforter. Now, I want you to understand something about the word Comforter. It has two meanings. It does have the idea of comfort in the sense of assurance, soothing, help, affirmation. In fact, one translation says this way, and the helper will come. He is the helper. Amen. And we all need this helper. We all need this comfort. We're facing, and we're just beginning to see the battle. It is, this month is, Gay Pride Month. It's on all the news outlets. And what was in the closets is now marching down the streets. And it's time for the church to get back in the closet, so that we can go back and take the streets. And we love everyone no matter what they struggle with or what they feel like they have. There's a Jesus for everyone. But we are seeing pastors are going to be arrested and churches are going to be having to pay taxes. In fact, the goal is to shut every voice. Children being born, it'll be illegal to declare whether they are male or female on their birth certificate until the child gets old enough to decide what they are. We are in confusion. We are in a war. And if we don't have the Holy Ghost with us and miracles with us, we're not going to make it as a church. Brother and sister, we got to roll up our sleeves. We got to get in our prayer closet. But I'm here to tell you, let the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing. But he that sitteth in the heaven shall laugh, and the Lord shall have them in derision. Nevertheless, he's going to send a Holy Ghost revival in the midst of it all. Can you shout hallelujah? You know what happened in the early church? Look at Acts chapter 9 and verse 31. They were being persecuted. But the Bible says, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria. And they were edified, walking in the fear of the Lord and in what? Comfort of the Holy Ghost. Were what? You mean churches is going to be hard for us to grow? No. We're going to grow faster than we've ever grown before. Because when people are trying to figure out if they're male or female, they're going to realize very quickly God already knows who they are and has a plan for their life. and his plan will always be better than our plan. You've got 3 pounds of brain matter. God is the creator of all the universe. Who are you going to trust? Come on. If he made you a male, use a male. If he made you a female, use a female. Come on now. Well, I don't feel that way. Well, we don't go by feelings anyway. We go by the word of God. God can change, and it ain't feelings anyway. It's truth that will make you free. I wish somebody say amen tonight. And if you're having confusion about that issue, that's because there's a devil out there that's trying to destroy you and send you to a hell. But God came to rescue you and set the captive free. I wish I'd get a few more amens tonight. I want you to know, nevertheless, the church is going to multiply and we're going to share the gospel of love. Acts chapter 2, look at these progress reports. Acts chapter 2, verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Then there's another progress report, Acts 5 and 14. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. Amen. Go to Acts chapter 12, a little bit further, several years. Is it getting worse? Is the church being beaten down? Yeah, I mean, they're trying to kill them. But what's the progress report? But the word of God grew and multiplied. And let me just chase one little rabbit here. The last generation, my age, and a little bit, maybe just a tad younger, we've gotten away from preaching the word of God. We've come up with short little ideas and take out theology, relegate that to a Sunday school class, preach messages that will answer maybe how to best do the dishes after, you know, supper. And have a nice, and we should address practical issues. We absolutely should address practical. And marriage and all that should be addressed from the pulpit. But I'm here to tell you, we've got to have preaching again. And we've got to have theology again. Because look at Acts 12 and verse 24. And the word of God grew and multiplied. Somebody say amen tonight. And then the final progress report recorded is Acts 16 and 5. And so the churches were established in the faith and increase in number. Oh, I know you're sad that I'm going away. I know you feel like you got to have me physically here. But I'm not physically going to be with you. But spiritually, nevertheless, you're going to do mighty things. The people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Comfort. Somebody say comfort. He comforts us through prayer. Romans 8 and 26, likewise the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. The Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. Because he maketh intercession for the saints. Brother, that's comforting to know. That when I'm praying, I don't even know sometimes how to pray. I do know I pray the Lord's Prayer every day, more than once, every single day, because he said pray that. And I pray the pattern of the Lord's Prayer. I used to start my prayers by saying, Lord, I come to you. Please forgive me of not thinking right or doing right. Please forgive me of sin. And I'd start my prayer repenting and of sins that or wrongs I thought I did, you know, until I realized that that's not the way to pray. You don't start your prayer by asking God to forgive you. Well, why not? Because our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and then forgive us of our sins. So I'll say, Lord, I just love you and I praise you. And here's what I need today. And oh, by the way, please forgive me, God. You know I didn't mean to say that or do that. Somebody ought to say amen here tonight. When we pray, he helps us to pray. And I'm telling you, get a hold of God. He does answer prayer. If you're destitute and in need and you feel like no one cares and you feel like your prayer, in fact, I was reading in the Psalms the other day, four powerful words. And I just highlighted it and he heard them. God heard them. And guess what? He hears you when you pray, and especially when the Holy Spirit plugs in and you start praying in the Spirit. That gives you comfort. Not only does he bring us comfort through prayer, but he also brings us comfort through the Word of God. John chapter 16 and verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, that's John 16 and 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Somebody say all truth. I'm not talking about a little bite-sized individual pack. I'm talking about the whole meal. Amen. I'm talking about the Pentateuch and the prophets and the Psalms and the wisdom books and the major prophets and the minor prophets and the kings and the post-captivity writers. And I'm talking about the four gospels, the book of Acts, the epistles, and finishing on up with the book of I like the whole meal. Amen. Can you imagine me going to Cracker Barrel? And I order me a nice plate of chicken and green beans and corn and an apple pie and I order it and they bring me a biscuit and I eat one. The first time I bite into it, it's a half moon, and the second time it's a total eclipse. But I eat that one biscuit and that's it. I don't eat anything else. I don't eat the next biscuit. By the way, just for the record, I probably can count on both hands how many biscuits I eat this year, because I'm going to tell you, I can't keep eating biscuits and losing weight. Amen. Nevertheless, the Lord helps me. Amen. 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 But can you imagine just going and just eating one thing and there's the whole plate in front of you? Love your Bible. Read your Bible. Quote the Bible. Circle that Bible and quote it and make those promises precious to you. Remind God of His promises. He loves for you who fear the Lord. Give Him no rest. Remind Him of those precious truths. Take His word to Him and say, Lord, do as Thou hast said. You have caused me to hope, and He will through the Holy Spirit. Nevertheless, He will change things. Somebody say amen tonight. The comfort of prayer, the comfort of the word. So number one, the Holy Spirit brings comfort. Say amen. And then He brings conquest. Say amen. Two ways, individually. In my own life, through the working of the Holy Spirit, I'm able to live a life of victory. Look at what Paul said in Romans 8 and verse 13. Romans 8 and verse 13. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. How you gonna overcome smoking? Through the Holy Spirit. How you gonna overcome lust? Through the Holy Spirit. How you gonna overcome drinking and drugs? How you gonna overcome gossip? That is a sin, right? Oh, it is. It is. It is. How are you going to overcome worry? Did you know worry is a sin? One great preacher of 1800 said, I would no more worry than I would commit adultery. Because both are a great sin to God. How are you going to overcome that? I have my individual struggles. You have your individual struggles. How do we do it? The writer of Romans says, through the Spirit. You see, even when we fail, two things happen when we fail. We hear two voices. One says, give up. It's never going to work. You failed again. You're no good. People are disappointed in you. God's disappointed in you. That's called condemnation. And if you were not truly born again, you wouldn't even hear that. You wouldn't even care. But the fact that you're hearing those voices proves that you're a child of God. You're just struggling. Then you hear another voice. Call upon me. I will forgive you. I will empower you. A righteous man falls seven times, but he gets back up. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, that is the conquest of the Holy Spirit individually in my life. Nevertheless, I can face tomorrow. Nevertheless, I have power from on high. Nevertheless, over addictions. Nevertheless, over drugs. Listen, nevertheless, over willpower. Sometimes you're relying on your own willpower. What you need is God's willpower. Amen. That's what Tom Bland, he said, you're more fearing the withdrawals than my power to do it. He was relying on his own willpower. Listen, willpower needs to be sanctified to God's power. Nevertheless, the Spirit. Can you say amen? Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27. One of my favorite scriptures. I know our pastor loves this one. And it shall come to pass in that day. Somebody say, that's today. That his burden shall be taken from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck. Read that last part with me. And the yoke shall be because of what? Because of what? And we're also referring to the Holy Spirit. They're synonymous. Anointing and Holy Spirit are synonymous. And people misquote this a lot. They said the yoke shall be broken because of the anointing. It didn't say broken. Anything broken could possibly be put back together, including Humpty Dumpty. But something that's destroyed, even a better translation would be the yoke shall be annihilated because of the anointing. I tell you, brother, when God sets you free, when He does a work in your heart, He whom the Son sets free or makes free, not sets free, but makes free is what? Free indeed. I'll tell you, the Holy Spirit will destroy alcohol, destroy lust, destroy worry, destroy drugs. And you keep on and you keep on and you trust Him until you are free, finally free. Somebody just give Him praise here tonight for individual victory. Amen. But not only individually, but corporately. We need the Holy Spirit because we are better what? Together. And we've got, listen, I'm going to do a little preaching here now. I'm doing a little meddling here tonight. We got too many churches. The last thing they want is a moving of the Holy Spirit. Man, if something were to go, I mean, they've got it to where the Holy Spirit's relegated to maybe a class back in the far corner. No, let the Holy Spirit have preeminence in every part of our service. Amen. The Holy Spirit doesn't make the difference; He is the difference. Amen. They talk about seeker sensitive, and by the way, I do feel like we should be mindful of people and speak in the language they can understand. Does no good if I'm up here talking about things and 25 people sitting out there are daydreaming, because it doesn't. I think it's a good that we make things. Jesus talked about the lilies of the field and the birds of the air. He brought it very plain to them so that they could understand. I preached a sermon one time called The Intimidator. It was right after Dale Earnhardt died. I had everybody's attention. Brother Ray, it was when I was at Living Waters. Robin Mercer back there, he was a big Jeff Gordon fan. I said, why do they call him the Intimidator? Because Dale Earnhardt, if you remember, he would bear down on people and he would wreck people and he would bump them in such a way that it would knock them out and then he would win. I know this is old stuff now, but the point I'm trying to tell you is we do need to speak in a language. And we talked about the devil was the intimidator. Just about the time you're ready to do something for God, boom, he'll come and knock you right out. Somebody will say something. Something will happen. You'll get a setback. Or just about you make three steps forward, you take one or two steps backwards. But don't let that intimidator keep you from the checkered flag. Hallelujah. We're on our way to Zion. And we're not going for victory. We're going from victory because we've already won. Somebody say amen tonight. Corporately, we've got too many churches that are seeker sensitive when we ought to be spirit anointed. I had a pastor friend of mine who's going through a very difficult time. And he and his wife went up to New York City to the Brooklyn Tabernacle Church. And they needed a word from the Lord. He said, the pastor got up and said, cut your cell phones off. Don't take any pictures. This is a house of worship, and we're here on business to worship the Lord. He said when they had prayer, the pastor said, and there's 2,000-3,000 people out there, he said, I want everybody to pray, every mouth open, and I want you to pray unto God. And he said the pastor preached a message from the Lord, and it touched their hearts in a great way. That, my friend, is Holy Spirit anointed. And here's the thing. People get saved by the scores. Amen. People's lives do get changed. We've got to have the Holy Spirit. And A.W. Tozer said that the Holy Spirit was everything to the New Testament church. If you remove the Holy Spirit from the book of Acts, it would have died. But if you remove the Holy Spirit from the church today, most of it would go on as if nothing happened. Now, I'm not against programs. God is a God of order. Amen. And you did have dry bones put together before you had the flesh and the spirit could be most effective. Amen. The bones had to come together. Amen. There's got to be organization. Let everything be done decently in order. You read, they do not oppose each other. Order, and J.H. King had a great quote on that. Order and the spirit's moving are complementary, not opposed to one another. Don't come up and say, well, I don't practice my songs. I just let the spirit just help me. No, you need to practice and you need to prepare yourself. Come on. Preacher's like, well, I don't study. I just open my mouth. And when you open your mouth, ain't nobody want to listen to you either. You got to study to show. Come on, help me, somebody. We got to have some programs. Amen. We got to have some plans. But here's the deal. If we trust if we just trust them, and we'll get what they can do. If we get property, and I'm for property, we should build. We should have buildings. I know people are against building. People are saying, well, let's do house churches. It's more authentic. The problem is you can't get but six people in your living room. It's a mess. Mine is. That's what I'm talking about. All right. I'm pointing at you with three fingers to come. My wife said, hey, a big amen to that. I got to clean the house tomorrow. Amen. I'm not. I'm going to the beach tomorrow. But anyway, I'm going to have some bluefish tomorrow. Glory to God. Glory. I'm going to be down your way, Pastor. Amen. Hallelujah. And I'm not against programs. I'm not against property. I'm not against preaching. But if we trust in preaching only, and there's churches with great expositors and can have every verse set, you know, and every illustration, but there's got to be something. If we will trust in preaching, we'll get what preaching can do. If we trust in property, we'll get what a building can do. If we trust in programs, we'll get what the program can do. But if we trust in the Holy Spirit, we'll get what God can do. Somebody just say, welcome, Holy Spirit. On the day of Pentecost, oh, God, the Holy Spirit brings comfort. Say amen. The Holy Spirit brings conquest. Say amen. The Holy Spirit brings conversion. Thank God for what Jesus did on the cross, but it will mean nothing to you without the work of the Holy Spirit in your heart. John chapter 3, verse 5. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water. And the water there is talking about human birth. The water breaks before the birth. Just take my word for it. That's not being water baptized, because there are other scriptures that indicate that that's not what that means, because the thief on the cross never got baptized. So what it means is human birth, except a man be born. For example, an angel has never had a human birth, so they don't become born again. They either serve God or they go become a demon. So is that all right? Is that pretty good? Except a man be born of water and of the... He cannot enter the kingdom of God. Look at John chapter 6, verse 44. It says, no man can come to me except the Father which have sent me draw him. And how does he draw people? Through who? And then look at what Jesus said in John 16 and 8. And when he is come, talking about nevertheless the Holy Spirit, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, of judgment. Somebody say sin, righteousness, and judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. And that's another sermon there. It didn't say of sin because they slept around. The greatest sin is the sin of unbelief. That's the root. The sleeping around is the fruit. 10. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world. Of sin, righteousness, and judgment. I'm here to tell you there is sin that every man has committed. And there is judgment that every man will stand before the judge of the earth. But all in the middle of sin and judgment, there's the gift of righteousness. And the Holy Spirit deals with you. And sometimes you'll be sitting in church and you'll be thinking, you need to give your life to the Lord. You need to be saved. Oh, but I'm a good person. I donate to charity and I'm not a bad person like my coworker. But the Holy Spirit is, what is he doing? He's trying to convince you that you have sinned because you do not believe on him. The Bible says, whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Holy Spirit, you can bring conversion to our family. Oh, there's a holy God and fallen humanity. And if you take righteousness now, there's just judgment. But thank God the Holy Spirit comes in and says, what can wash away your sins? Nothing but the blood. What can make you whole again? Nothing but the blood. That's why we need the Holy Spirit when we're witnessing. I'm going to tell you, people that I meet and people that I spend time with, I'm praying that they will come to know Jesus. I'm making a point to say something about the Lord. Folks, if you've been baptized with the Holy Spirit and you run the aisle, that's great. And do it and keep doing it. But don't just run the aisle and shout without witnessing to your neighbor or to your children or to your spouse. The Holy Spirit came in that upper room. And that's where we want to stay, is in the upper room. And friend, I'm here to tell you, the upper room was not a place to stay, because they took it out into the street. And that's where 3,000 were saved on the day of Pentecost. The Spirit isn't here to make you feel good. The Spirit is to empower you to do good and to reach the harvest and see people saved. Oh, be led of the Spirit. Be bold in the Spirit. Ask people, do they know the Lord? And learn how to share your faith. Learn how to respond to their... I know when I witness to certain people, I know what they're going to say in objection. Well, I've already got... hopefully, by, and that's what the Holy Spirit will bring it to you when they make an objection. Friend, witness to somebody. If we're going to have Pentecost Sunday, we need to have Pentecost Monday. Amen. And we need to witness. Will you witness to some people this week? Will you ask God? Listen, you don't even have to hardly ask God. But will you find somebody at work? Find somebody. Maybe the cable man comes over and installs it. Yes, witness to them. Amen. Tell them about the Lord. Well, you know, might make them uncomfortable. You know, they may get in a wreck down the road. And how would you feel then? We had a candidate to become before our committee this week. And he's getting to be ordained or licensed. I can't remember which one. And he said something that I just struck my heart. We were asking about his family, and he said what put him on the path to being a preacher? He said, I knew the Lord was dealing with me. And he said, several years ago, I felt like, you know, my brother was just not doing good. And something kind of told me, you know, why don't you talk to him about Jesus? And he thought, yeah, I should talk to him about Jesus. But several days later, his brother killed himself. And he told the committee, he said, I know I can't blame myself. But the point of it is that he will always regret the opportunity he missed. Oh, Holy Spirit, would you make us sensitive to those who are you saved tonight? Church, are you saved tonight? The four lepers said, why sit we here till we die? And they got all that food. And then they said, we can't keep this to ourselves. We've got to witness to ever. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now I'm going to close. Brother Clark, if you'll come and get ready to play. But I want to close with a couple of things here that I believe will help you when it comes to the Holy Spirit. Here's another thing A.W. Tozer said. He said, we do not need to worry about getting more of the Holy Spirit, but see to it that he gets more of us. We can have all of him if he can get all of us. Did you hear that? Are you the type that says, Lord, just let me have it all. Amen. And then the famous Boston pastor, Dr. A.J. Gordon, visited the world. Would you stand with me, and I'll share this with you, because this is how we want the Spirit to work in our lives. We are trusting on our flesh too much. When I preach, I have to trust that the Holy Spirit is doing it. But Dr. A.J. Gordon visited the World's Fair in Chicago, and in the way distance, he saw a man robed in a bright oriental clothes who appeared to be laboriously turning the crank of a pump and making the water flow. You know, he could see this oriental guy just pumping that pump, pumping it. And Gordon was impressed by the man's energy. He said, man, he's got to have a lot of energy. His smooth motions, his physical conditioning. And he was just pumping that water, and it was just coming out. And as he got closer, he was surprised to discover that the man was actually made of wood. Instead of turning the crank and making the water flow, the flow of the water was actually turning the crank and making him go back and forth. Come on, lift your hands up tonight. Come on, lift your hands up tonight. Let that river flow tonight. Let God be God. Let the Holy Spirit move through you. You can't do it in your own power anyway. But if you'll just get plugged in, that flowing water will make it seem so smooth. And the yoke will be annihilated because of the anointing. Do you need some yokes destroyed tonight? Would you join me, all of us, as we close in prayer for Pentecost Sunday? And if you don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues, you come down tonight because you can leave this place filled and thrilled with the Holy Ghost of God. Amen? Go ahead. Come on, join me at the altar tonight.
And I lift my
the yoke shall be destroyed.
To worship you, oh my soul, rejoice.
Father, let the yoke destroy the bondages, whatever they are. He loves you. He's for you. Pentecost is not coming for you. Pentecost is here. Oh, yes. Here. 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 Hallelujah. 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 Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. My brother, God's going to restore you. But don't wait until the full manifestation happens. Let that water flow through you. And He can overcome the weaknesses. He can overcome the memory. And when you stand to preach and sing, when you are weak, He is strong. Let that water flow through you, and it'll move you despite all the conditions. Oh, yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
Let it be a sweet, sweet sound.
I believe the water's flowing. I believe the river's flowing.